All right, it is 8:15 on Wednesday, July 16th. I'd like to call the meeting of the Iowa City Civil Service Commission to order. We'll make it to the forum. We have four items of business. The first one on the agenda is certification of hiring list for the position of firefighter.
Staff? So I will give you a little bit of a background. So obviously we came to the commission for approval of this process a couple of months ago, and so now we have fully completed it. Tracy has distributed, this is just kind of some standard demographic information that we prepare following any police officer or firefighter civil service recruitment. So we received a total of 187 applications. Not everyone who applies ultimately opts to go ahead and participate in the testing process, but you can kind of see how the numbers break down through each stage of the process. Ultimately, they had, or we had 48 candidates who qualified for interview by passing the written test, which we offered both an in-person session and an online option, and then the physical fitness testing. A couple of those opted not to go ahead and participate in the interview. So 46 candidates, I believe. 45 interviews were completed last week. It was a very full week for the interview panel. Yeah, it takes a lot of energy and attention. And then there was good discussion, good analysis earlier this week that ultimately resulted in the recommended list that you have before you, which includes 31 names. So if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. I think overall we feel like it was a pretty successful endeavor, feel pretty good about the list. Should serve the chief's needs for a while, hopefully.
Yes. Very, very pleased with the process.
45 interviews in a week seems like a lot.
Yep. It sure is.
Is there anything that we can do from like a planning standpoint to help alleviate some of that stress and pressure?
Well, you know, we used to, years ago, we used to use the written and physical fitness test to kind of narrow down the parameters for qualifying for an interview.
Yeah.
So only the top scorers were able to move on. And then we kind of changed our position on that and determined that because they're pass-fail exams, there could be someone who could be excluded from consideration just for the sake of reducing the interview pool. And we wanted to give everyone who qualified by being able to demonstrate that they could meet the written test and the physical requirements, we wanted to give them an opportunity to see it through the process. So we just kind of said, listen, as an organization, we're willing to take on that workload at the interview stage to make sure that everyone who clarifies gets an opportunity to fully participate in the process. And we have seen, we've gone back afterwards and looked and seen that we have placed people on a list and made hires and have had employees who have been very successful hires who would have maybe otherwise been excluded from the process if we just put an arbitrary limit on the number of interviews that we wanted to conduct. So it's a lot, but we think it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, more so not from doing fewer interviews overall, but maybe like spreading it out or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
It's a full way. That's just what those folks did last week. That was their task.
How long are the interviews?
They were scheduled for 40 minutes. So it was 5 full days.
Back to back to back.
Back to back to back. But I think scheduling wise, the number of questions worked out well. You're able to maintain schedule easily. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things can get behind and that can really drag a day out, but that they just clicked right through, kept on schedule. The chief and Chris and I were present when the panel kind of discussed the candidates and made the recommendation, put together the recommendation on Monday. And there were thoughtful comments. It certainly seemed like everyone was able to kind of maintain focus and give everyone good consideration. There was good discussion and good consensus. So I feel like I know that they were exhausted. That's why we saved the discussion afterwards till after the weekend. But there's no doubt it was a heavy lift for them all last week.
Okay, other questions? Do we have a motion to accept the certification or to certify this list for hiring a firefighter?
So moved.
Second.
The motion passes. We can go ahead and sign that. The next thing on the agenda is the certification of the promotional list for position of fire.
Okay, so again, we came to you with a recommendation for this process a while back, and we actually completed the interviews before the 4th of July holiday. We just held off on meeting until we got through this process so we could bring both lists to you at once. But we had two candidates who applied and expressed a desire to participate in the process. They did participate. They prepared a resume. They responded to three written questions that we believed were relevant to the position, so kind of offered their thoughts on a few topics prior to the interview. And then we had a panel interview that included the deputy city manager, a fire marshal from, was it Marshalltown chief? And the deputy fire chief. They participated in a panel interview, weighted panel. They all scored independently. We averaged those scores together. There was a minimum passing point that was predetermined that they would have to, each candidate would have to achieve to be considered eligible for placement on the list. And then the list reflects their names. They both qualified. The list reflects the ranking in according to the scoring in that panel interview process. So again, I think overall we felt like it was a good process. The candidates represented themselves well. And I think we feel good about the end result.
We do.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer those.
No. I guess the only thing that I would ask is in line with what Ashley had asked, is there anything that we can do to make the process a little smoother or any hiccups that we need?
For this one, I feel like that process was pretty streamlined.
Okay.
Yeah. Literally from the point where we announced it, we give them 2 weeks to prepare their resumes. They submitted those, and then we gave them a week to respond. I don't think we got both of their written responses before the deadline, so I feel like the candidates had adequate time. And I don't think, I mean, Chris might be able to speak to what, I mean, he participated on the panel, but I feel like it went pretty smoothly overall.
Yeah, the process went smooth. Everybody stayed. I think we had an hour allotted, and we, in that 45-minute, 50-minute range, mm-hmm. where we both had thoughtful answers to the questions that were asked, and so it's two good candidates. I think the scoring reflects.
Yeah. How did you decide who to include from an outside standpoint? You said someone from Marshalltown was participating.
Yeah, I made that selection.
Okay. Yeah. And how did you make that selection? Just someone you knew?
Well, yeah, it is. You know, many times during the a higher level promotional processes, when I have the opportunity to bring somebody in from the outside that I personally know how they work,
mm-hmm.
and I'm
also from Marshalltown.
So are you?
Yeah. She's like, why Marshalltown? Yeah. Yeah. And that's why the recommendation that we brought to you is we wanted to have the assessment of someone who is serving as a fire marshal,
mm-hmm. and in the role.
I felt like that was an important perspective to, mm-hmm. to bring in reviewing the candidates and how they responded to the questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion to approve certify the list for promotional list for fire marshal?
Motion to certify.
Second.
And the motion passes. The third item on the agenda is the update on House File 706, modifications to the Iowa Code Chapter 21, Iowa Open Meetings Law.
Right. There will be more to come on this, but we did want to let you know that there was a recent change to Chapter 21. One of those things that was added is there is now a member education requirement that is being implemented. It's going to be required under the state code for all newly elected or appointed public officials who are members of a government body. The course requirement is 1 to 2 hours of training. It has to be approved by the Iowa Public Information Board. It's actually going to be created by the Iowa Public Information Board. New members are going to have to complete the training, which will be an online training within 90 days after assuming their responsibilities as a board or commission member. There will be a certificate of course completion that's issued when that training is completed, and then that's required to be maintained by staff to those boards and commissions and presented for inspection if we are called to produce proof. So our understanding is that council is going to make a requirement that just to ensure that all of our board and commission members are properly trained, that everyone complete the training when it is made available. So we'll be reaching out to all of you and letting you know that the online training is available, how to access it, all of kind of the logistics of doing that. So everyone will need to complete the IPIP training when it's ready. And then get your, we'll communicate all of this to you at the time, but get your certificates of completion back to Tracy or I, and we will maintain those records on behalf of the Civil Service Commission. And then training will be required moving forward upon appointment or reappointment. So at the start of each term for newly appointed or reappointed board and commission members. So just kind of a little context. So when we reach out and say, hey, we need you guys to do some mandatory online training, that's where the requirement is coming from. I'm sure it will be included in the training, but the city attorney's office also just wanted us to point out that they have also increased penalties for violations of the open meetings law. So that the financial penalties for violations have gone up significantly. So I think that just underscores the need for the training to make sure that everyone understands what the requirements and obligations are, so that we don't run afoul of the open meeting laws and you know, put anyone in a vulnerable position with regard to being penalized for that. So
maximum penalties increased from $2,500 to $12,500.
Yeah.
For that violation.
Never reply all.
Yeah. And it's going to be, I think, a lot of, you know, kind of like closed session doesn't come up that much with this body. Sometimes right. It does if we have an appeal or something like that. But we're just going to really kind of say, hey, we're going to get some guidance, some direction from the attorney's office before a board or commission would go into closed session, just to kind of ensure that we have good grounds for doing so, right? So we don't have to kind of second guess that decision after the fact. So we'll just be more thoughtful as we kind of approach things that could result in a need to go into a closed session or something like to make sure that we're clearly reviewing the statute, clearly getting good guidance from the attorney's office, making sure that we're doing everything according to that.
And I believe IPIP just released updated guidance that I think their training, they announced a release date for their training. I think it was yesterday is where they announced it. So
you might be getting something sooner rather than later.
We can probably blame Davenport for that.
Allegedly.
So that's the update on
and I'm okay with online training, but if there's a resource, if we have need some clarification on some things, we go through who?
If it's not clear through, we can help you. We can help put you in contact with a resource. We'll figure that out. Yeah, if you have clarifications, probably start with the city attorney's office, but we certainly will help get whatever information you feel like you need.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other questions? Okay. Item number four is update on House or Senate File 311, requiring establishment by ordinance of a civil service commission of not less than five and not more than seven people.
Yes, you're growing.
Two, three.
You're growing. You're going to be growing.
We're growing.
Yes, you're growing. So, more to come on this. This is kind of in process, but the state law now requires an ordinance establishing the Civil Service Commission. There had not previously been a requirement that there be an ordinance to establish. So we're currently going through the process with City Council to get an ordinance adopted. It has already been through its first reading at the July meeting. So there's a potential that it could be formally adopted as early as August 5th. If they choose to take expedited action and just go ahead and finalize that. So possibly as early as beginning of August, we could have an ordinance. The staff recommendation, and it's included, the ordinance was in the last council packet, is to increase to five. Mm-hmm. So the recommendation and the ordinance that's currently being reviewed would establish a commission of five members. Once that ordinance is adopted, then the city clerk will post those vacancies for 30 days. So it is going to be mid-September or early October, probably before we have new members appointed to the commission. Mm-hmm. But at that point, you will become a body of five. Mm-hmm. They are going to, the code requires, like it lays out like the 4-year overlapping terms. So the ordinance also has some information about what the terms will be for the two new appointees to kind of get everyone into their rotating term cycles. So given that, knowing that we're going to see some changes, our thought as staff would be, we're going to take a look at the administrative procedures for the commission, maybe see where we think it might make sense to consider some updates to that. Mm-hmm. In preparation for kind of a larger commission structure. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to review those and maybe schedule a meeting in August to bring the three of you back together and just have you take a look, maybe do a little kind of work session types of just open discussion. Mm-hmm. And get some direction from the three of you about how we might want to modify the administrative process and procedures for this commission so that maybe it functions. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, with a larger body. So we've got some initial thoughts. It's not going to be anything drastic, but we'll get some information drafted and come back to you sometime next month, maybe, and start kind of looking at what do we need to do to get ready for this change.
It's mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah.
And could we get a copy of that draft prior to the meeting or that,
yeah.
that we have?
Yeah.
Just to have an opportunity at least to look through it, you know, before the meeting.
Sure.
Speed things up.
Yeah, and then then obviously you would have the latitude to do what you can accept it, you can direct changes to it, we can go back and work through it and just keep coming back until you're comfortable with what you want to formally adopt. But so
any other questions? Mm-hmm. Now, the only other question I have is that I did look over the Senate file itself, and there's a lot of I don't know if it's just wording changes, but is the number of the commissioners the only change? I mean, I know there's a lot of word stuff, and I just skimmed it.
Well, there are some changes to kind of some of the process and the standards for, like, handling appeal hearings. And we have kind of our standard, the general kind of commission administrative procedures. There's a separate document that is the commission's procedures for handling appeals that harkens back to, I believe, 1981. So that probably needs to, I think, probably also needs to be reviewed and fully updated given, and we can certainly ask the attorney's office to give us some guidance on how some of those changes affect the processing of an appeal and those sorts of things. But I was kind of envisioning that being maybe a step two after we get our full commission of five established. Okay. You know, we'll work on that. And if, heaven forbid, there should be a need for an appeal in the meantime, then we'll just have to ramp up the review of that to make sure that we have everything in order. But yeah, I think my recollection from reading it is that I think most of the other language changes were just around the appeal process and kind of what this commission can base their ruling on and, you know, legal representation and who has to pay for counsel to the, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I have a brief suggestion for you to consider as you're looking at administrative logistics. As we grow, it's going to be harder to schedule things, obviously. Doodle poll. I don't know if you've used that in the past.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I've used some. Yeah.
Yes, I think it's a free service, and you can put the dates that you're considering, and then just send a link, and then we can all take the survey kind of the dates that are available for us, the times and dates. It makes it much easier to schedule when you have a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for that suggestion.
Okay, so we will anticipate having another meeting sometime in August to hopefully we'll have the open meetings law or the open meetings training available to us.
Yeah.
And then we can at least review the current policies and procedures and see if there needs to be any change in view of the ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. That's all we had.
Okay. Any other business? Okay. Is there a motion to close?
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Motion pass, and the meeting is adjourned.